If you're like most people, you've got that morning routine, right? Shower, maybe coffee, then, you grab the razor. But every so often, you hit that awful moment. The razor doesn't glide, it catches, it pulls, it feels, well, terrible.
Like sandpaper almost.
Exactly. And that really unpleasant feeling, it makes you ask, how long should this thing actually last?
It's a real moment of truth, isn't it? We sort of intuitively know when a razor feels bad, but I think most of us really underestimate how specific the science is around razor hygiene, how long they last, performance.
Right. We just push it.
We push it way past its useful life, maybe thinking we're saving a few cents.
Well, today we are diving deep into the source material on exactly that, razor maintenance and the often ignored science behind getting the best and, importantly, the safest shave.
Yeah, the safety aspect is key.
We want to move beyond just vague common sense and give you some concrete, actionable rules, and crucially, the serious why behind replacing your razor on time and taking proper care of it.
Our goal here is really to take the guesswork out of your shaving routine. We're going to lay out the specific numbers, the frequency rules. We'll detail what's actually happening with a dull blade mechanically and tackle the, let's be honest, kind of gross but absolutely necessary hygiene factors. It's all about keeping your skin smooth and healthy.
All right, let's unpack this. Starting with the most immediate thing, the feeling. We all know that sensation when a blade goes bad. What's physically happening when that smooth glide turns into a rough pull?
It really boils down to friction. A brand new blade has this microscopic edge, almost perfectly uniform, incredibly thin. But as soon as you start shaving, even the first time, those edges begin to degrade. Just tiny little imperfections start happening. So when the razor feels dull or starts pulling, it means that microscopic edge isn't cleanly slicing the hair anymore. It's dragging, it's catching, and it's actually bending the hair shaft before it sort of tears it off.
So that rough feeling isn't just discomfort, it's literally the sound or the feel of the blade edge failing.
Precisely. It's compromised.
And if we ignore that feeling, keep pushing through. What are the signs after the shave? The symptoms that scream, "Replace me now."
Well, you'll see it on your skin. Inflammation, soreness, redness, what we usually just call razor burn.
Yeah, the classic burn.
A dull blade makes you go over the same spot again and again, right? You're trying to get that close shave.
Multiple passes.
And each pass multiplies the micro trauma to your skin. So that irritation, plus the tiny little scratches a dull blade leaves behind, that's a clear sign you're damaging the top layer of your skin, the epidermis.
I always notice the performance issue first, actually. Like, suddenly I need three passes over my chin instead of just one to get it smooth.
Exactly. That difficulty in achieving a close shave, meeting more passes, that means those blades are done. They're used up. And the danger here, which I think often gets overlooked, is that a dull blade doesn't just feel bad. It increases the risk of actual bleeding scratches, especially on tricky, sensitive areas like the neck. You're creating tiny open wounds.
That makes total sense. More friction equals more trauma. Okay, let's get to the big question, the data-driven part. How often should we be replacing these blades? Forget the feeling for a second. What's the recommended number? The rule of thumb.
The general advice, and this is pretty consistent across the sources, is to change your razor blades. Doesn't matter if it's a single blade or those multi-blade cartridges, every 5 to 10 shaves.
5 to 10. That feels tighter than maybe a lot of listeners might expect. I have to admit, when I was younger, I probably aimed for like 15 shaves sometimes, which, based on this, was just asking for trouble.
You were definitely pushing it. And the sources, some of them get even more specific. The American Academy of Dermatologists, for instance, they actually tighten that window even more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they recommend changing blades every 5 to 7 shaves, or even sooner if you notice any drop in performance or see any visible wear, like rust starting.
5 to 7, wow.
That 7-shave maximum is probably the safest bet if you really want to avoid irritation altogether.
So why the range then? 5 to 10 or even 5 to 7? Why might one person need to toss it after 5 shaves while someone else can maybe stretch it closer to 10?
Good question. That variation usually comes down to three main things that affect how quickly the blade wears down. First, hair density and coarseness. That's a huge factor.
Thicker hair is tougher.
Much tougher. Thicker or coarser hair is just harder on the blade material itself. It wears down those microscopic edges way faster than fine or sparse hair. So if you've got really thick, dense hair, your blade's lifespan is just naturally shorter.
That's really useful context. It's not just about the brand of razor, it's about the actual stuff the blade has to cut through.
Precisely. The workload on the blade.
Yeah.
Second factor, pretty obvious, shaving frequency. The more often you shave, the quicker you hit that 5 to 7 shave limit.
Makes sense.
And third, and this is important, technique matters a lot. If you're pressing down too hard thinking you'll get a closer shave.
Which a lot of people do, I think.
They do. But you're actually just forcing the blade to degrade faster. You're increasing friction, making the edge wear out,
right,
or even become brittle more quickly.
Okay, so we can actually tie that frequency, that 5 to 7 shave rule, back to a calendar schedule. Mm. That could be super helpful for listeners trying to build a better routine.
Absolutely. We could estimate it. Based on that rule, if you're someone who shaves every single day,
yep,
you should probably be swapping out that blade every 1 to 2 weeks. Max.
1 to 2 weeks for daily shavers. Okay.
Now, if you shave, say, every other day, you can stretch it a bit longer. Maybe expect the blade to last around 2 to 3 weeks.
Right. 2 to 3 weeks.
And for those who shave less often, maybe just twice a week.
Yeah.
Then you're likely looking at a replacement cycle of about 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6. Got it.
But the real key here is consistency. Know your routine, figure out which schedule fits you based on that 5 to 7 rule, and try to stick to it. Don't just wait for that horrible pulling feeling to tell you it's too late.
Okay, this is crucial. Let's pivot now to something that goes beyond just comfort and really enters the realm of health. Hygiene. This is where, as you said, it gets really interesting, maybe a little bit gross.
Yeah, it can be.
Why is delaying replacement so potentially dangerous, even if the blade still feels marginally okay?
It comes down entirely to the buildup, the gunk problem.
The gunk.
Blades are designed to be sharp, yes, but they're not necessarily self-cleaning, not at all. Every single time you shave, all those little crevices and the spaces between the blades in a cartridge, they accumulate this cocktail of debris that doesn't just rinse away easily with water.
Mm.
We're talking tiny hair fragments, leftover shaving cream or gel, dead skin cells, and, most important part, bacteria. And other microbes that absolutely love that warm, damp environment.
Oh, wow. So you're essentially creating a tiny, portable bacterial farm right on the cutting edge of your razor.
That's a pretty accurate, if slightly horrifying, way to put it. A bacterial men, maybe?
Uh-huh.
And think about it. When you scrape that accumulation, that gunk, against skin that's already been slightly traumatized by shaving, even by a sharp blade, let alone a dull one.
Right. Those micro-abrasions.
Exactly. Even scratches you can't see, you dramatically increase the health risk. You're basically pushing bacteria directly into those tiny openings in your skin.
Which leads to what? What are the specific health issues we're talking about?
Well, infection is the big one. Irritation, definitely. Severe razor burn, sure. But also things like folliculitis, that's inflammation of the hair follicles. Looks like little pimples.
Right, I've seen that.
And chronic ingrown hairs, especially if you're already prone to them. The sources are really clear on this. Using dull, gunked-up blades is probably the fastest way to end up with skin problems.
And while we're talking about things that shouldn't be near your skin, rust. What about that?
Oh, rust is the ultimate red flag. Mm-hmm. Non-negotiable. Any blade that shows even a tiny speck of visible rust, it needs to be thrown away immediately, period.
Why is rust so bad?
Rust seriously compromises the integrity of that fine blade edge, making it uneven and even more likely to scratch you. Plus, you're introducing oxidized metal particles, foreign material, that can be deeply irritating, especially if it gets into any tiny cut or nick.
Okay, message received. Rust equals trash. Immediately. So we've established when to ditch the blade, 5 to 7 shaves, watch for gunk, never use rust. Now let's talk proactive care. Can we make them last longer or at least stay cleaner within that recommended window? What's the foundation of good blade maintenance?
Yes, proper care is absolutely foundational for a safe, comfortable shave. And step number one happens before you even pick up the razor, wet shaving.
Wet shaving, explain that.
You have to always shave on wet, hydrated hair. Always. That means showering first, or at least rinsing the area thoroughly with warm or hot water for a couple of minutes.
Why is that so important?
Hydrated hair that's absorbed water is something like 60% easier to cut than dry hair. 60%.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
It is. It dramatically reduces the amount of work the blade has to do, which means less friction, less wear and tear on the edge.
And I assume the lubrication factor comes in here too. Shaving cream, gel.
Absolutely crucial. Always, always use a shaving gel, foam, or soap. This creates a protective barrier between the blade and your skin. And it provides lubrication so the blade glides smoothly, minimizes friction, minimizes irritation.
Okay, now rinsing. We all rinse after we're done shaving. But the sources you looked at emphasize rinsing during the shave itself.
Yes, and this is a vital distinction. It's not optional, really. You need to rinse the blade under running water after each stroke, or maybe every couple of strokes, depending on how much hair and lather you're removing.
Each stroke? Really?
Pretty much. Think about it. This immediate rinsing prevents that debris cocktail. The hair, the foam, the skin cells from drying out and hardening between the blades. Once that stuff hardens in there, it's much harder to get out, and the next stroke is basically grating those particles against your skin.
That makes sense. Keep it clean as you go.
Exactly.
What about the deep clean after the shave is totally done? You mentioned a quick rinse isn't enough. The sources say more is needed.
Yeah, a quick swish under the tap probably isn't cutting it. After you finish shaving, rinse it really thoroughly to get off all the visible stuff. Then, and this is specific, clean the razor head, the blades, with antibacterial soap before you dry it.
Antibacterial soap, not just regular soap.
Antibacterial is key here. Remember that bacterial zoo we talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Regular soap might wash away surface gunk, but antibacterial soap actively targets and helps kill the microbes that are setting up shop in there. It addresses that live bacteria population.
That's a fantastic specific tip. Okay, antibacterial soap. What if stuff is really stuck on there, like dried foam you missed?
It happens, especially with multi-blade cartridges. If you notice stubborn, caked-on residue that won't just rinse out, you might need a tool. The sources suggest using an old, clean toothbrush.
A toothbrush?
Yeah, just gently scrub the razor head between the blades. It helps break up dried shaving cream, maybe some trapped skin cells or sebum, without necessarily damaging the fine edge of the blades if you're careful.
Good tip. Okay, final step. Storage. This seems to be where a lot of us fail, right? Leaving the razor on a wet shower ledge or the side of the sink?
Storage is so critical for preventing both rust and bacterial growth. Moisture is the absolute enemy of blade longevity and hygiene.
So what's the rule?
You must air dry your razor thoroughly after you've cleaned it, shake off excess water, then let it air dry completely. And crucially, store it in a dry place, ideally outside the humid shower or bath area. If it's constantly damp, you're just begging for rust and encouraging bacteria.
Get it out of the shower. Got it. Okay, we have two final really crucial points from the sources that we need to make sure we cover. First, the body versus face rule. This is a common question, I think. Can you use the same razor, say a multi-blade cartridge, for your face and also for body hair, legs, armpits, etc.?
Right, people ask this a lot, and the answer from the sources is a very clear, absolute, definitive no.
No, why not? Seems efficient.
It's not about efficiency, it's about microbial transfer. Think about it. The skin flora, the types of bacteria and microbes living on your face, are different from those on your legs or under your arms or in your private areas. They're distinct ecosystems.
Ah, so you're basically cross-contaminating, spreading different bacterial communities around your body.
Precisely. If you use the same razor across these different zones, you risk spreading bacteria and gunk between them. This can cause significant inflammation, irritation, and lead to everything from just discomfort to really bad ingrown hairs or even localized infections, especially in sensitive areas.
Wow. Okay, so the advice is crystal clear. Use separate dedicated tools for separate jobs.
Absolutely. One razor for your face, a completely separate one for body parts like legs, armpits, bikini line, whatever else. Don't mix them.
Message received. Separate razors. And the final point is just a quick reinforcement on technique, right?
Yeah, just a brief reminder. Whenever possible, try to shave in the direction of your hair growth. Going against the grain might feel like it gives a closer shave initially, but it significantly increases irritation and is the primary cause of ingrown hairs because it cuts the hair shaft below the skin surface, allowing it to curl back in. Shaving with the grain, combined with a sharp, clean blade, is the best way to minimize problems.
This has been incredibly informative, a real deep dive into something we do so often without much thought. Let's summarize those core rules for you, the listener, to take away.
Sounds good.
First, aim for just 5 to 7 shaves per blade or cartridge. Be conservative here.
Right.
Second, pay attention. Watch for any pulling, dragging, soreness, or redness. Those are your immediate signs to ditch the blade.
Don't ignore them.
Third, hygiene is non-negotiable. Rinse the blade after every stroke during your shave.
Crucial.
And after shaving, clean it thoroughly, specifically with antibacterial soap. Then let it air dry completely and store it somewhere dry, not in the shower.
Yep, keep it dry.
Following this science really does make shaving feel less like a chore and more like, well, a proper self-care that keeps your skin healthy.
Exactly. And maybe here's a final provocative thought for you to chew on. We've talked about how blades wear out based on subtle things like hair thickness and how often you shave, but what is the diligence required for proper razor hygiene? The antibacterial soap, the careful drying, the separate razors. What does that tell us about the sort of hidden link between simple everyday routines and preventing common skin infections?
Go on.
Well, it highlights how much our daily habits impact the microbial world around us and on us. This isn't just about getting a smooth shave or a beauty tip. It's a very practical, applied lesson in personal health, in managing the invisible ecosystem we cultivate in our own bathrooms, and how that directly relates to avoiding common, annoying, and sometimes serious skin problems. It's basic hygiene with real consequences.
That definitely puts a high-stakes perspective on a simple bathroom routine. Knowledge you can apply immediately. Until the next deep dive, stay sharp, everyone.